The last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
So let's turn to the issue of the schools reopening after the midterm break, even when the country is in a level 5 lockdown. Just how is that going to work? Now, the Teachers Union of Ireland were with us last night and seemed fairly positive about ensuring that members go about fulfilling their duties and service in their role as teachers. We've yet to hear from the ASTI, which of course is balloting on industrial relations matters at present. But let's talk now to the General Secretary of the Irish National Teachers Organisation, John Boyle. John, I believe you've had a meeting with the Department of Education and Government today. What did you actually manage to get out of that meeting?
Yeah, well, we were delighted to have the meeting with representatives of NEFET. This is the first time that we had two representatives of NEFET speaking to us directly. So they gave us a good overview of where they feel things are at in relation to the testing, the tracing, and the measures that are in place with public health for the school sector. We were focusing on the special schools and the primary schools of Ireland. So we got that overview, and then we were allowed to ask quite a number of questions, and we made a statement yesterday that we have so many outstanding issues, it's really frustrating that it has taken this long to address them. So there was an admission on the part of NEFET that their system has been overwhelmed in the last 2 weeks, and that in one part of Ireland, not known, that they had particular difficulties with testing and tracing. So that, I suppose, proved to us that our concerns were very, very valid. But we're looking at solutions now. So the schools will be closed next week. It will give everybody, I think, a bit of respite in order to make sure that when they reopen on the 2nd of November, that government now, the ball is in their court. If they can't resource the HSE, how on earth can we have any confidence that children and staff are going to be returning to safe schools?
What has your experience been to date in the primary school sector?
Well, the experience since we reopened has been very, very positive. I mean, everybody wants to be back. Nobody ever wanted to be engaging, no more than your own family, I'm sure, Matt, in the so-called remote learning. It
Absolutely.
Doesn't work for the primary sector. You know, we did our best, and children and parents engaged as best they could, but we have been back. The face-to-face, the happiness of the children being back into schools has been very, very successful, but there have been issues. The main issues, I think, relate to the fact that I wrote, after the roadmap was published on the 29th of July, I moved on to my next body of work after the bank holiday weekend in August, and that was to ensure that the system had support from the health sector. Now, the workers in the health sector, of course, are doing their absolute best, but if their leaders are admitting to us that the system is overwhelmed, this is a question for government. Why have we principal teachers last weekend having to spend their whole weekend contacting families in their schools, advising them of the time for the test, the location for the test, and why the test had to be administered so quickly to their children? This is not the work of a school teacher. This is the work that should be happening in the health sector. And obviously, if they aren't resourced, it won't be happening. We have concerns as well for the teachers with underlying health conditions, teachers who are pregnant. We want medical evidence to say that at level 5, with the virus rampant in the community, that it's still going to be safe for those people to be going into these large classes and in their schools. And we also want clarity on the wearing of face coverings, because at this point in time, nobody really ever wanted to see children having to wear face coverings in school. But if this additional measure would ensure that they and their teachers and SNAs and staff were kept safe, it's certainly worth considering. So there's a huge amount of work to do in the next 8 working days. But I got the sense today that there was a sense of purpose at the meeting, and that the Department of Education, the Department of Health, and the Teachers Union, the representatives for 43,000 teachers, and Forster from the SNAs, that we will work closely together over the next 8 days to make sure that everything is in place for the 2nd of November.
I'd imagine most parents will be delighted to hear that. Just a couple of other things I want to ask you, though, John. At present, how long is it taking between a teacher or a pupil needing a test to be done, the test being done, and the result coming back?
It's patchy, and we were delighted actually at the meeting to hear that now there are going to be specific school-based public health teams put into every HSE area to support the schools. This is something we've actually been looking for since the beginning of May, but it has been very patchy. So in some instances, if there's a batch test or a mass test having to happen, you have a whole year group in secondary or a whole class in primary being brought swiftly to a test centre, quick processing through a quick queuing system and results the following day. In other instances, you have people, including our own members, waiting for 3 or 4 days to get a test, and then afterwards, of course, the contact tracing, if it's necessary for it to happen at the weekend. There seems to be a total breakdown at the weekend where school principals have to be on call all weekend, and then if the HSE staff isn't there because they're not being resourced by government, it means then that it falls back on our principals. And obviously the principals are doing it because they don't want a situation in the morning on the Monday morning that all of the people who may have been infected or their close contacts would be congregating outside a school with lots of other families. And that's another concern we have, Matt, and I know that you and I are in the South Dublin area, and in the schools in South Dublin they're very, very overcrowded. We're really concerned as well that there would be a public awareness campaign for parents and for everybody in society that if we're at level 5 in the country, it doesn't mean that if you can leave your home to bring your child to school or to collect your child on a winter morning or afternoon, that you can then continue on with your daily work as usual and be out mixing in the community. We're going to have to take personal responsibility outside schools, wear our masks and stay well away from the school setting, because the last thing we need is other adults to be infecting each other or infecting the children or the teachers in the school, because the school simply won't be able to function with the lack of substitute cover in that situation.
John, stay on the line, please. We also have Dr. Tomás Ryan with us, Associate Professor at the School of Biochemistry and Immunology at Trinity College Dublin, a regular contributor to this programme and to others, and an expert in this area. How worrying, Tomás, is it to hear of delays of 3 to 4 days in getting tests done, in contact tracing not taking place over weekends, given that we are now 6 months into this crisis facing a second lockdown?
It's very worrying, Matt. In point of fact, I'm not an expert in public health medicine. My background is in molecular biology and neuroscience, which is how I got into this conversation on the basis of testing itself and testing strategies. But contact tracing is a public health matter. Nevertheless, I'm working with a group of independent scientists, the ISAG group, that are putting together platform papers on alternative exit strategies from this situation. It is clear that the public health infrastructure is overwhelmed. Our testing capacity is more or less saturated, and our contact tracing is overburdened, and our public health physicians are completely overburdened. We have an 8% positivity rate in the country at present, which is alarmingly high. And yesterday we heard Minister Donnelly say that the positivity rate in schools was only 2 to 3%. But of course, we're testing schools in a different way, because when you're looking at outbreaks in schools, like when you're looking at meat plants, you're going to be testing more people, so you're inclined to get more negative tests anyway. So we can't say much from the apparently lower positivity rate in schools. So I have to say, I mean, I do share the teachers' concerns in general for the levels that may be going around in schools at the moment. We really don't know how much school transmission is contributing to the overall community transmission. And so there's two sides to this, Matt. On the one side, it's how safe are schools for children and for teachers, which is a valid concern in itself. But the other side is how well can level 5 work for the population as long as schools are open.
Yeah, and Tomás, you've immediately raised the question for me. What if the children pick it up, circulate, maybe they don't fall ill, they're asymptomatic, but they bring it back to parents, particularly parents who might have underlying vulnerabilities?
So the issue is that, in general, SARS-CoV-2 transmits asymptomatically. About half of people who have it don't know they have it. They don't have any symptoms. Even people who have it transmit it pre-symptomatically before they first get symptoms 5 days post-infection. This is what makes it such a difficult disease to manage. This is what makes it so dangerous and so hard to suppress. Now, children tend to be less symptomatic even when they are symptomatic. They tend to be posy-symptomatic, and there's arguments that there's greater numbers of asymptomatic children. But they still transmit the virus about half as much as adults, and teenagers transmit the virus as much as adults. So when you have a large degree of virus circulating in the community, schools can act as amplifiers where you could have super spreader events in classrooms or in schools that we may or may not be aware of, and then this will affect community transmission. And Matt, when you interpret this within the context of the current six-week lockdown, the ambition is to get cases down to 50 to 100 cases per day by the first week in December. Now, based on Philip Nolan's, based on his group's modeling, he has the ambitious target of getting us to an R number of 0.5 for 6 weeks. And if we have an R number of 0.5 for 6 weeks, then we can get to about 50 to 100 cases a day by the first week in September. Now, the problem is that if you, first week in December, Now, if you do this by comparison with, say, the Melbourne situation, and in Melbourne and Victoria, they had to go for a lockdown of 10 to 12 weeks, but they're now at zero cases, so they've done very well. But they achieved an R number of 0.65, and that was with schools closed. So the question is, how effective can this six-week lockdown be as far as long as schools are open? Now, we've made the choice to keep schools open with very good reason why we all want to keep schools open. But we have to accept that that's going to make this lockdown slightly less effective. And I think we'll see in 2 to 3 weeks' time what kind of an effect this type of lockdown is going to have.
Tomás, do we need to treat the secondary schools differently from the primary schools, given, as you said, the teenagers may be more infectious, given as well that the very nature of secondary school children is they're maybe doing more mingling to and from going to school, also that they're moving between classrooms with different teachers over the course of the day?
I think to have this conversation properly, one needs to consult education experts, experts in the study of education research and education psychology and mental health to make a balanced view. But the reality is that, yes, teenagers are going to be transmitting as much as adults. They're also the kind of area of the population where maybe you can tolerate being at home more. Maybe you could say for teenagers being in class 1 or 2 days a week and then doing independent learning provides them with enough socialization and they're not so significant a burden to their parents who are trying to work and so on, that that we can be more creative with secondary schools, particularly when they're not exam classes. But I do think that primary schools are where we're all motivated to keep working as much as possible. And the rule of thumb there still is that the schools are only as safe as the communities that they exist in.
Okay, I want to go back to John in a moment. Just one last one for you, though, Dr. Tomás Ryan. How fearful would you be that we could be in what I might describe as a yo-yo situation? We go into lockdown now for 6 weeks. We come out of Christmas. Then we discover that the transmission is going up again during the winter months. The hospitals are suffering. And in January or February, there's another lockdown.
By definition, Matt, that is our current strategy. Based on any reading of the Taoiseach's speech last night, he said that we will open up when we can and then we'll close down when we have to. Based on our current testing and tracing infrastructure, which is the beginning of this conversation today, that's what we're going to be doing. We're in for rolling lockdowns until there's a vaccine, which could be a year or more or never. This is the mitigation strategy. It's in and out of restrictions. I don't think that's a good strategy. The other alternatives are to have a stable suppression strategy where we keep socially distanced and we keep control of virus numbers, as in South Korea, but we don't have lockdowns, at least not significant lockdowns. Or we go for a zero COVID strategy, as they're just approaching now in Victoria, as in much of Australia and New Zealand and Taiwan and much of China. That would be, I think, from here, as much cost to attain as a suppression situation, but the benefits would be far greater. Of course, that would need to be done in collaboration with Northern Ireland.
John Boyle, how worrying is all that to listen to?
It's very worrying, Matt, and I suppose I would like to be able to plan for the school system right up to Christmas, and we did all that planning for 3 months to get the schools open, and it has been relatively successful up to Halloween. But my main focus is that first Monday of the next term on the 2nd of November, a million people going back into the school sector. Dr. Holohan wants to protect the health of the people of Ireland. I want to protect the teachers' health and the students' health, and we want to keep schools open. Everybody wants to see that happening. But the question is, will government step up to the plate in the next 8 days? Will they put in the resources, the protections and the precautions that are necessary to make sure that the parents of Ireland will have confidence in the school system going back after Halloween. Their children will be at home in lockdown. Will they be prepared to send their children back into schools where they know in their hearts and their souls that we have been let down by government not investing in the public health contact tracing and testing systems? And will they be assured that there's additional protections in their schools? Because obviously you cannot have a school open at level one and expect that the same school is going to stay open for the same number of people at level five without these additional protections that are needed. And if that means that we don't have the extracurricular activities for a while, if it means that we don't have mass congregation of adults outside the building without wearing face masks, and if we have all to change our way of doing our business, we are committed to working with government to make sure that children can go back. But the key message I have today is government needs to make sure that every effort is made to keep people safe. At the end of the day, education is very critically important, but children's health and teachers' health and safety is even more important than education at this particular time in a pandemic.
Thank you very much. John Boyle, General Secretary of the Irish National Teachers Organisation, and Dr. Tomás Ryan from Trinity College Dublin.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.